Blog Talk Radio.
Across the globe, welcome to Why Should We Follow Christ, ladies and gentlemen, with Pastor Eleanor Joy and guests. And our special guest today, ladies and gentlemen, is Minister Duncan Clark's going to be with us, ladies and gentlemen. But before we get started, we got to do two things. We got to give the Lord a hand clap of praise for being here today. If you're alive and well, you better thank him. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And also, too, we want to give honor to the man and woman of God, too, that are with us today on the network. We call this network, ladies and gentlemen, Power Connections. We connect you with some powerful people that know and love the Lord and going to help you with it today. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Elder Kevin Vaughn here with you today. Hey, the call-in number, if you guys are checking this out on the network, call-in number 347-843-4559. The number, 347-843-4559. We want to encourage you to send this out on your social media as well. Please push this on your social media so you can be blessed by the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, from the man and woman of God today. So thank you so much for joining us on Power Connections. Amen, amen. Well, one thing we want to do real quick, we want to open up the lines here for Reverend Joy. Reverend Joy, we want to greet you here in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How you doing, Reverend Joy? God bless you today.
Thank you, Brother Vaughn. I'm doing very well. Thank you. And you?
Yes, we're doing wonderful. Good to hear your voice today. We're thanking God for everything.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for co-hosting with us today. And Minister Duncan Clark, how you doing today, sir? God bless you. We'll say a few words before we get started. God bless you.
I'm glad to be here. I'm better than I deserve.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for Jesus, Minister, as y'all know. Thank God for Jesus. Ain't no other way we would have made it. That is for sure. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we always like to give. We want to release this time to Minister Duncan Clark. Ladies and gentlemen, we had a powerful day. Our first series was yesterday with the wonderful and awesome Minister Brian Walker. Oh, man, he gave us some great information and from the word, ladies and gentlemen, but also why should we follow Christ. He gave a great case and a great reason why we need to follow Christ, not only every day, but every second of the day, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
It is so important, as you all know, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And let me read a wonderful bio here. See if I can get through this wonderful time. Of course, this is just a portion of his awesomeness in the Lord, so we thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to read you Minister Duncan Clark, ladies and gentlemen, little bio here. He was born in Los Angeles, ladies and gentlemen, California, to a devout Christian mother, amen, and an overachieving, hardworking father, amen. We need more hardworking fathers today, don't we? So after we moved to Miami, essentially grew up in Miami as well, he attended the nice Episcopal church. And he said, I don't remember a time when he didn't believe in the existence of God. Amen. What a great foundation, eh? But it was not very important to me. And that's the same for me, Pastor, Minister. It wasn't important to me. Growing up, I'd be in church every week, every day, almost not every day, but Wednesday was a Bible study, I think, and then, of course, Sunday. So it didn't mean a lot, but my mom and dad said, you got to be there. So guess what? Either I was going to be there, I would have been homeless. So that wasn't going to happen. Amen. In fact, as he grew up in his teenager years, he felt profound loneliness and knew that there must be something more to life. Amen. Ain't that wonderful feeling, ladies and gentlemen, when you know something's missing? That was the same for me, Minister Duncan Clark. Something was missing. I didn't know what it was, but I found out later. Amen. Praise God. At the age of 16, I heard several people talking in the church about how God loves us, each of us. They told stories how he changed them. Amen. We heard those stories that clicked for me, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ and had the Holy Spirit moment. Many talked about, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise for another soul saved and Brother Clark. Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, Brother Clark went to college and studied economics, but he knew it was he was headed to seminary, ladies and gentlemen. In my 20s, I attended Gordon Conwell for 2 years and finished his doctoral seminary in Manhattan in 1984. I was ordained as an angelic church at the Anglican Church and was hired as an assistant and served for 3 years in New Jersey. Amen. Beginning in 1987, I was head pastor. Amen. He served one church in Northwest New Jersey before moving to Washington State in 1994. There was a head pastor. He was a head pastor at two churches. My focus was still in Christian orthodoxy teaching, Bible as God's true and reliable word, discipling Christians into the purpose, faithful life, and engaging ever church members into ministry. Amen. In 2016, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Clark said, I decided it was time to retire from full-time church work, both because I was rather worn out and because even as a young man, I knew leadership was custodial and not owned. It was time for the next generation to take the lead of my church, trying to pass that mantle, pass the baton. Amen. My wife and I moved into a tiny home situation and volunteered at a youth and missions camp where we mentored young people. Amen. And participated in several schools there. We went to China and Mongolia in 2018, and my wife went to India and Vietnam as well. Amen. Thank God for missions. Thank God for travel in those areas for the cause of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Several months ago, we're called back to a former town and where we're currently sorting through our next season priorities. For 49 years, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Clark says, I have believed and know to be true that Jesus is indeed the only way, truth, and life. Amen. And that really is the only interesting thing about my life. Amen. Blessings. And ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you now Reverend Duncan Clark. We're talking about today, why should we follow Christ? Amen. Brother Clark, it's all yours, my friend. Amen.
Well, I'm actually on because I want to hear Pastor Eleanor teaching. I read her book, An Overcoming Spirit, and that is a wonderful story of God's power. So I look forward to hearing you speak, Pastor Joy.
So okay, I look forward to it, Minister Duncan, and I'm also looking forward to hearing you speak today and to expound on our topical sermon, Why Should We Follow Christ? Amen. So I know that you will give us a powerful word today. You've always been a faithful and studious participant in our eschatology group on LinkedIn. So I'm just as equally eager to hear what you have to share today as well.
Well, I'm going to keep it simple because I don't think I'm that interesting, but I think the scriptures are interesting. And furthermore, I don't much rely on my own authority. My experiences are varied and sometimes they're good and sometimes they're bad, but I do believe in the power and truth of scripture. So I'm going to go to 14:6 of John chapter 14:6. And I'm going to try to pull out four things from that scripture. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now, that passage has been quoted multiple times during the course of this radio show, as well it should be. So Jesus is saying a bunch of that statement, and it's always quoted. But the first thing he said is, I am. And the Greek in that is a translation from the name of God that God gave Moses in the Old Testament. Moses said, who shall I say is sending me to the Israelites? And God said, I am who I am. In other words, Amen. He said, I'm not an idol. I'm not an opinion that someone came up with their own imagination. I am the only God of the universe. I'm the God who was there at the beginning. I made all of creation, and I set the planets and their courses, and I'm ruling every molecule and every atom. I am who, I am not who you say I am. I am who I say I am. And that's important to me. I was in the Episcopal Church as a priest for 20 years. I had a bishop who said that Jesus was the illegitimate son of a Roman soldier who raped Mary. That's who my bishop said Jesus was. And yet Jesus here is saying, no, I'm not who you say I am. I am who I say I am. I and the Father are one. So that's the first thing. Why should I follow Jesus? Because he is the Son of God. He is the divine Son of God. He is not an idol. He is not made up in our imaginations. He is the one who came down from heaven, who died for our sins and went back to heaven. And I'm going to speak to that part later, but my goodness, he is the way, the truth, and the life. So the next thing he said was, I am the way. I am the way. So I grew up in the 60s, and I remember a lot of things went on in the 60s. And I, as a young man, I was trying to figure out how to grow up, how to be a man, what the truth was, who to follow, politicians or celebrities. I was big into football. I wanted to be like, I don't know if y'all remember this guy. He's still alive, the great Jim Brown. He was a fullback for the Cleveland Browns. I used to want to be just like Jim Brown, who was tall and fast and strong, and he was the best running back of all time. I wanted to be him. Or maybe a movie star. How about John Wayne, or how about Jack Nicholson, or any of those really famous guys, or maybe a politician like John F. Kennedy or Bobby Kennedy. Or, you know, the truth is, the more I got into how to figure out how to be a man, you know, a lot of those guys really didn't know what they were doing. I mean, they were just as confused as I was. And, of course, my generation said never trust anybody 30. So I would look at my friends and cohorts, and a lot of those guys came from – I didn't come from a wealthy family, but I knew people who did. And they were drug addicts. They were alcoholics. They were confused in what they wanted to do with their life. They were treating each other really awful. That was one of the reasons why I was so lonely, was I didn't like the way we treated each other in school. And so I wanted to know the way. So Jesus, you know, the great thing about the four Gospels is that we have wonderful examples of how to be good men. And by the way, women can follow these examples too. It's not just about being a good man, but Jesus had humility. Should we be more humble? Jesus lived a purposeful life. He didn't turn to the right or the left. He was focused on his Father's mission. He was obviously the Son of God and therefore perfect and full of the Godhead. But I'll tell you, if I'm going to follow anybody, I'm going to follow someone like Jesus. And he said, I'm the truth. I am the truth. And of course, we wrestle with what that's supposed to mean today. Again, I had a bishop who said Jesus was not divine. He was an illegitimate child, and he had an inflated sense of ego. And we've listened to the news. When I was a kid, we used to listen to the news, and there was a newscaster who used to say, and that's the way it is. And I think it was his attempt to say, look, I'm just telling you what happened. But these days, when we listen to the news, we hear people say, well, this is the way I think it is. And by the way, the guy over there in that other network, he's wrong. We have people disagreeing with Jesus and saying he was an anti-Palestinian white supremacist. And, of course, Jesus was clothed in the body of a Jewish man. He was probably dark-skinned. And so for people to call him a supremacist of any kind is an opinion. So what's the truth? Who is the truth? Is truth true, or is it someone's opinion? And the more I listen to the words of Jesus, I understand everything that came out of his mouth was truth. My goodness. And it wasn't a poor Jewish man's opinion 2,000 years ago. It was the God incarnate speaking out to everyone what was true, what was factual. And, of course, he lived it as well. He backed up his words with a true life, with a real life, a brave life. He went to the cross speaking the truth. He went to the cross for our sins, as he said he would, as the scripture said he would. And people even want to debate that, and that to me is confusing to me, because if I know someone died for me, I'm going to be grateful for that. And then he said, I am the life. And my biography says that I was kind of lonely when I was a teenager. And, you know, I think most teenagers are lonely, aren't we? You know, we don't know our place in the world. We don't have an expertise. We don't have a career. We don't have standing.
Amen. Amen.
Boys and girls are going to be looking for their next true love. I mean, I think people nowadays think they're going to be saved by having a relationship with another person. And no, that didn't work out for me too well in the 60s. Being a teenager, I didn't know what I was doing. But I need to say, and this is really important, when I asked Jesus into my life, that the moment, the seconds before I asked him, I was lonely. And the lifetime afterwards, I have never been alone. I've gone through horrible things. My wife left me for another man in 1997. That was lonely, but I didn't feel alone because I felt the presence of God. The word life in the Greek is zoe, which means abundant life. So people are looking for a life worth living. It isn't going to happen unless we have Jesus in our life living inside of us by the power of the Holy Spirit. So all the hard things that I've gone through, I got through them because I wasn't alone and because I had a Spirit-filled life. So I could take 2 hours talking about more than that, but I just want to focus on what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. Why do we follow him? Because he is the Son of God. He is fully divine. Nobody else can claim that on the planet. Nobody else can say that that when you follow them, we will have a life worth living. Jesus's examples, his teachings, his promises, his salvation. He is the way. He's the way to heaven. He came from heaven. He went back to heaven. My family used to drive cross country. Dad would put us all in the car in Miami, and we'd drive 5-6 days. Dad wouldn't stop for nothing, going straight through the deserts of Texas and Arizona to go back to Los Angeles to visit friends. But, you know, even though he was born and raised in Southern California, he still needed a map. He needed to know how to get there. And I trusted Dad because he came from L.A. He knew how to get there, but he also needed a map. Jesus came from heaven. He went back to heaven. And he promised us that because of him, there would be a place for us. So he's the way. He's the truth. I don't trust TV. I don't trust politicians. I trust everybody on this show, by the way, because I've read you, Pastor Joy. You're a wonderful teacher. I trust the Christian leaders that have led me well, and yet none of us are perfect. Jesus is perfect. I trust his words. And, you know, I wish for anybody listening to this show to ask Jesus into their life, to have that abundant life. You can't get that. I remarried. I'm married to a wonderful woman. But the abundant life I get is not from marriage. It's not from having a degree. It's not from having the privileges that I really have enjoyed. It's about being filled up with the Godhead. And God has promised that to us through Jesus Christ. So that's my short take, Pastor Joy. I want to hear from you.
Okay. Well, praise the Lord. That was a very expository minister talking on why we should follow Christ. I appreciate that. And, you know, you took away one of my scriptures, but I'll use that again today also later on in the teaching. What I would like to do is I would like to take a few minutes to just share my appreciation once again to Elder Kevin Vaughn for having us on the program today to expound on this topical subject of why should we follow Christ. And for those that are in the radio listening audience today, I just want to expound on this. You know, for those who don't realize that Christ is not his last name, but Christ is his title. Amen. Yeah. It means the anointed one, the Messiah. So I just wanted to expound on that for anyone in the audience who was not clear on that Christ is not his last name, but his office. Amen. Also, what I'd like to do is also like to take a couple of minutes to show my appreciation for those who have agreed to be on this panel today. I want them to know that I just did not choose you to be a part of this panel. It was not something that I did haphazardly, but I want you to know that I have watched you for many years, and I have recognized that you are men of God, that you are faithful, that you are men of integrity, and that you are men of character. So, you know, the Word of God says that promotion comes from the Lord. Amen. So I want you to know that your being on this panel today was not a haphazard decision that I made, but it was something that the Lord dropped down in my spirit immediately after Elder Vaughn had asked me to put together a panel. It didn't take me very long to realize who I wanted to be a part of this panel. I just briefly want to talk a little bit about diversity. It may not seem like, okay, well, why are you speaking about diversity? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go down a little succinct rabbit trail for a little bit and just talk a little bit about how I selected the panel. Through my studies in the biblical text, I came to a point where I began to appreciate diversity. And as you look at the biblical text, you see that the character of God is that he created diversity. So when I look at men and women of God today, or anybody, they don't necessarily have to be a Christian. They could be someone who is not in the kingdom of God at this time, but I celebrate them because I realize that on the inside of them, God has deposited something of eternal significance that he put inside of them, specially and unique to them, that it's their spiritual DNA. Amen. So I appreciate diversity. So I'd like to just address each panelist and speak to their particular relationship with me, and I'm going to put it in a chronological sequence as to how they came into my life. First of all, I'd like to mention Minister Brian Walker. I met him many, many years ago. He attended a conference where I was speaking, and there was just a divine connection, because what I discerned in Minister Brian Walker was that he was a man of God. He was a man of integrity, and he was a man that was hungry for the things of God, and that was many years ago. And so I followed him, even though he may not necessarily realize it, but I followed him, and I can see that he has stayed faithful to the Lord, and so that is why I chose him to be on this panel. Minister Brian Walker is passionate about the pro-life movement, and he has been very much on the front line, of the pro-life movement. He's not just talking about it. He's out there putting his passion and his words into action. You know, a lot of times we can talk about things, but we don't actually get out there and we don't do anything about it. Amen. So when you see a problem, it's not for you to stand back and to talk about it or to complain about it or to murmur about it. Maybe you're the answer to the problem. And that's how I see Minister Brian Walker, is that he steps up to the plate and do the work that is necessary to make a change in something that he sees needing change. I also love the fact that Minister Brian Walker has a heart, you know, for men who have experienced the act of aborting a child. And oftentimes we look at the women, but we don't look at how that has affected the men. And also I see how he's going out there and he's addressing that issue of where men themselves, they may not be able to speak about it personally, but they themselves are in need of inner healing. So I'm grateful that Minister Brian Walker is addressing that today. The other person I'd like to mention, and unfortunately he was invited to be a part of the panel, but due to prior engagements, he wasn't able to be here today personally. But he was gracious enough to put together some teaching notes from an academic perspective that addresses this topical message of why should we follow Christ. And if you're out there today, Dr. O'Callaghan, I just want to honor you today and thank you for being gracious and taking time out of your daily schedule to put together these teaching notes for our radio audience. So I'd like to acknowledge Dr. Dennis O'Callaghan, a PhD. He's the director emeritus of the theologian in residence at the Scripture Institute. And he has put together 7 pages of notes. His notes are very extensive, so I won't go into depth of them today, but there are just a couple of commentary that I will share with the group today. And I would like to encourage you that, you know, if you are impressed upon some of the commentary that I read from Dr. O'Callaghan's notes, to contact me here at In His Love Ministries, and I will put you in contact with Dr. O'Callaghan, and he would be more than happy to send you either the PDF file or get those teaching notes to you, you know, as you request them. The other thing is I want to acknowledge, again, we just heard from Minister Duncan Clark. He's been a faithful man of God, a man that's hungry for the Word of God. He's been with me as one of the participants in my eschatology group that I've led for about 8 years now on LinkedIn. And so he's another person that I've been watching over these many years and have seen that he's truly a man of God and he's faithful. He's a person of integrity and he's hungry for the things of God. So I just want to acknowledge these mighty men of God today. And I want to speak to the issue of diversity again. I know many years ago when I had begun my academic training in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I noticed right away that I did not gravitate towards preaching. And I'll never remember this. My sister says, well, you know, some people like apple pie and some people like cherry pie. And she was making reference to the various genres of teaching. And that's true. Some of us seems to have the propensity to gravitate towards teaching. And some of us have the propensity to gravitate towards preaching. So today I have a very diverse panel, and so some of us have the anointing and the giftings to preach, and some of us have the anointing and the gifting to teach. And so whatever type of pie you listen to, you know, partake of the pie. You know, if you don't like the apple pie, don't take the apple pie. You know, if you don't like the cherry pie, don't take the cherry pie. But I'd like to quote the famous late evangelist Lester Sumrall, that says you can learn anything from anyone if you listen long enough. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So as a prophetic teacher, I am going to expound on today's topic of why should we follow Christ. I am going to flow from a prophetic teacher perspective, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to employ the methodology of systematic theology, which means I'm going to speak to the issue of why should we follow Christ from the biblical text in terms of Genesis to Revelation. And so what I want to do is I'm going to follow a prophetic theme in reference to the beginning, where it all began, to the end, which is the book of Revelation. My anchor verse of scripture for this particular topic teaching of why should we follow Christ is coming from Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8. So if you're listening at home or you're in the radio audience and you have your Bible with you, I will be giving you various scriptures, even though I will not be going to each scripture verse by verse. But this is something that you will be able to go and study out on your own in your own private study time. But my anchor verse for this particular topical message of why should we follow Christ is coming from Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8. And I'm reading from the King James Verse Bible, and here it says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. And so essence, what I want to do is I want to take you through a succinct chronological prophetic sequence of prophetic events beginning at Genesis and ending at Revelation. So in essence, what I want to do is I want to do a succinct expository prophetic teaching as it unfolds to a 360-degree turn from Genesis to Revelation. Because what I want you to know that in the beginning, what happened in the Garden of Eden did not take God by surprise. Amen. Mm-hmm. But what's going to happen is he's going to turn this whole thing around in the book of Revelation. Amen. So the only scripture that basically I'm going to take the time to read in some depth, and I want you to open your Bibles, or either I want you to write this scripture verse down so that in your own private study time you can go back and you can study this out. Because this is very key here, and it's in the Gospel of John. It's in chapter 6, and I'll be reading beginning at verse 42, and I'll be reading to verse 69. And I concur with what Minister Duncan Clark said earlier. What I want to do is I want to get out of the way of the Holy Spirit. Because the words that I will be speaking today will not be anointed. They will be the words of Pastor Joy. But I want to give you the word of God because that's where the anointing is. Amen. And so Amen. A wise pastor said once, what we are to do as ministers in service of God is to get the people under the anointing. Amen. And so once they get under the anointing, then that's when the ministry of the Holy Spirit can come in and he can do his ministry, amen? Because we recognize as men and women of God, as servants of God, we can't do anything for the people. It's going to take the ministry of the Holy Spirit, amen? So that's why wisdom dictates that we preach and we teach the word of God because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke, amen? So again, I'll be reading out of the Gospel of John. I'll be here in chapter 6, and I'm going to have to go back here because I went over to John 14 where Minister Duncan Clark was speaking. So I'm going to go back over here to John chapter 6, and I'm going to start at verse 42, and I'm going to read to verse 69. If something jumps out at me that I feel that I want to expound on, I won't spend very much time there. But while I'm there, the Holy Spirit prompts me, I will expound on it. If there's someone in the audience that may not necessarily understand what I'm saying, this particular verse, I will take the time to expound on it. Amen. Because I don't know who is listening today, but the Holy Spirit does. Amen. So it's wise for us as men and women of God, as servants of God, to always to prepare. But we always use wisdom and discernment when the Holy Spirit wants us to do something else and go in a different direction. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So I'm going to be starting at verse 42. And, of course, we know that this is John. This is the Gospel of John. But who is speaking here? Jesus is speaking here. It's very important for you to know who is speaking here in the context of the Gospel of John, beginning at verse 42. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? how is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? And so what I want to do briefly is I want to expound on verse 42, because isn't that interesting, where especially when it comes to the prophet, that a prophet is without honor except in his own home? So here, because they were familiar with Jesus, they were not able to discern the anointing that was on his life, even in spite of all the signs and the wonders and the miracles that he performed. They did not discern that because they were too familiar with him, because they said here in verse 42, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? So it's very important when it comes to receiving a spiritual impartation from the man or woman or the servant of God, that we don't look at the human vessel. Amen? Because sometimes we shut ourselves down because of what the messenger looks like from the external. But Jesus said that my sheep know my voice. Amen? So it doesn't matter what the man or the woman of God is clothed in, you know, it's what are they speaking, because the Apostle Paul says to know no man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And so it goes back to what the late evangelist Lester Sumrall says, you can learn something from anyone if you listen long enough. Amen? So going into verse 43, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. This is very important what verse 44 says. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So that's very important for you to understand that, because here in verse 44, it goes back to predestination. It goes back to foreknowledge. It goes back to the word elect, and you find all those words in the New Testament. Those are biblical words or scriptures that the Apostle Paul used in his epistles to the New Testament church. So to give you an example of what Jesus is saying here, he says, no man come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Just as we know that Jesus, being the second part of the Godhead, was with the Father from eternity, just as Jesus stepped out of eternity into time, into human history as we know it, 2,000 years ago, okay, we know that Jesus was already there in eternity past. And so as we are familiar with the terminology and the words predestined, foreknowledge, elect, and we'll find those words in the New Testament, try to capture this with your spirit and your natural mind, okay? You step out of eternity into time. So in essence, each one of you that are listening to this radio broadcast today, you are not here by accident, okay? So God has a divine purpose and a divine assignment upon your life. And it's not your responsibility to decide what that is. You discover what that divine purpose is, amen? And how you define or you discover what that is first of all, you have to be connected to a local body of believers, connected in some area of service. So it goes back to what the prophet Jeremiah said, or what the Lord said to Jeremiah in the book of Jeremiah. And this is the Lord speaking here. It wasn't the Lord Jesus, but it was the Father God speaking, that even in your mother's womb, I knew you. Amen? So before any of your members were fashioned, God knew you. So you are here for a divine purpose, and what you have to do is you have to discover what that is. And the first place you discover what that is by getting connected in a local body of believers. And as you submit yourself to a spiritual authority as a pastor, you will eventually, through the direction of the Holy Spirit, discover what your calling is and what your particular gift is and why God has placed you in this time of human history for such a time as this. Amen?
Amen.
So when you go
Amen.
On to read verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. So this is a point that I also want to take time to expound on here in verse 44, that whenever Jesus uses a word twice, it means that we need to take note of what he's saying, because what he's going to say after that is very important. And so here in verse 47, it bears repeating. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. So it goes back to our topical message here today that each one of us are giving an expository on. Why should we follow Christ? Because Jesus himself says here that he, and that's whoever you are out there today, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Amen? So that's the question. If you were to go home tonight and you were to lay your head on your pillow and you wouldn't wake up tomorrow, do you have assurance where you will spend eternity? And that's something that you have to settle today. It's not something that can be settled once you step over into eternity. That's something that has to be settled today. When you go home tonight and you lay your head on your pillow, do you have the assurance, if you didn't wake up, where you... are going to spend eternity? I just noticed that I did not have my phone next to me, so I'm not quite sure whether you have been having difficulty hearing me or not, but I just recognized that, so I just picked up my phone and put it near me, so I hope that you're able to hear me more clearly now, okay? Okay. So I want you to know that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Here in verse 48, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. And of course, we understand that from the perspective of the biblical interpretation of verse 53, this is talking about if you're Roman Catholic, is in speaking in reference to the Mass. If you're Protestant, it's talking in reference to the community of the communion. Amen. Verse 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your father did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in a synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doeth this offend you?" And when he mentioned, or he asked, "Doeth this offend you?" at this time he was speaking to his disciples. Again, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doeth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Is it the spirit that quickeneth? The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, "Will ye go also? Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered, and this is the key verse, then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God."
Amen.
Jesus answered them, "Had not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he was that should betray him, being one of the 12. But go back up to verse 38. This is the pivotal verse for this entire expository teaching on the topic of why should we follow Christ, the anointed, and an anointed one is, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Amen?
Amen.
So what I want to do, amen. So where else can we go? We can't go to Buddha. We can't go to Confucius. We can't go to Allah. It goes back to what Minister Duncan Clark said earlier when he quoted John 14. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Even though we have many voices or many echoes in the world today, and we even have some in the church that will say that Jesus is not the only way to heaven, that there are many ways to heaven, but we have to go back to what does truth say in John 14:16. And Jesus said, "I am the truth, the life, and the way. There is no way to the Father except by me." So that is why we should follow Christ. Amen. So now I want to go back and I want to go further in my teaching. When it comes to the methodology of systematic theology, I want to give you some verses of scripture that I want you to take notes on, and I want you to go and I want you to study those out in your own personal study time. And the first scripture I'd like you to jot down is in Genesis. That would be chapter 3, and that would be verses 8 through 19. Again, that would be Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 8 through verse 19. The second one is the prophet Isaiah, starting at or in the chapter 53, in verse 12. Again, that's the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 12. The next one is in the book of Daniel. That will be chapter 9, beginning at verse 25 through verse 27. Again, that will be in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 25 through verse 27. Then we're going to jump to the New Testament. Go to the first gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, and verses 33 through verses 44. Again, Matthew, chapter 27, verses 33 through 44. And then last but not least, the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 11 through verse 16. Again, the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 11 through verse 16. So I'm going to read those for you right now. And these verses that I read to you are in reference to my expository teaching from a chronological prophetic sequence on our topic today of why should we follow Christ, because in essence that's it's a theological term, is systematic theology of why we should follow Christ, because when you look at these scriptures that I just gave you, they all make reference to Jesus in some way. They speak to him and his person prophetically as we can follow him and what the Lord spoke to him from Genesis to Revelation. So there's a central theme of Bible prophecy concerning Christ, the Anointed One, and his anointing and the Messiah from the beginning of the book of Genesis right through Revelation. And for those who did not get it, I will read it again for you. The first one is Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 through verse 19. The prophetic book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 12. The book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 25 through 27. The gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 33 through verse 44. And the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 11 through verse 16. So because of the time constraints on today's program, I don't have time to go back and do an expository to expound on all these particular verses that have to do how Jesus was prophesied, even from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. You will see the central theme that he's all in there, that he was prophesied to come. And so he is the promised Messiah, the anointed one, and the deliverer that the Bible prophesied would come, that was initially spoken of in Genesis chapter 3, that unfolds the final reality of his second coming, which is in Revelation chapter 19. Okay, what I want to do is I want to interject some parenthetical information. And parenthetical is simply a theological term, which means, let me put it in its simplest and its basic definition, is when you have a thought. Say, for instance, if you are having a conversation with someone or you're writing a letter, and in the middle of writing that letter, this thought comes to you. And what you want to do is you want to capture that thought and you want to interject that thought in that particular paragraph. And so in Scripture, what we call that is parenthetical information. It may not necessarily flow in reference to that paragraph. I'll use that as an example, but it's sort of like an afterthought that you interject there. So it doesn't necessarily flow in a chronological sequence of where you're speaking, but you interject it there as a parenthetical thought. And so in the process of me giving you the information in the chronological prophetic sequence of the expository teaching on this topic of why should we follow Christ, I've decided to put in some parenthetical information. So what I want to do right now is I want to go back and I want to read that parenthetical information that I've interjected here, and I want to expound a little bit on it for you. Okay, and all of this is coming from primarily a New Testament perspective. It's not coming from a prophetic perspective, but it's coming from a New Testament perspective in relation to practical theology. So, again, if you have your Bible open, and right now I'm sure that it's probably difficult for you to follow me, if you have your Bible with you, but what you do is you can take notes, because I will give you the scripture references, as I mentioned earlier, that you can go back in your personal study time and you can write these scriptures down and you can study them out for yourself. The first parenthetical that I want to expound on is briefly here in John chapter 6, verses 42 to 69, what I just read in depth. And it also correlates with John 14:6, what Brother Duncan Clark mentioned earlier, which was John 14:6-2, where Jesus said, again, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Many people, as I just read in John chapter 6, they left Jesus, after he expounded on that he was the bread and that he was the blood, and that unless you partook of his body, which is represented of his body, which was broken for us, and also his blood, which was shed for us, because, we have to understand, we have to go back to, he was talking to people in the first century. This was before the Apostle Paul even came on the scene and began writing the epistles. So the people didn't really have a grid for what he was talking about. So can you place yourself, in the first century A.D., and try to listen to Jesus say something like that that was so far off the grid that you would probably have that same response, in your humanity that they had at the beginning of the first century church. And actually, the church didn't begin until the day of Pentecost. So you look in your own humanity and say, like, hey, this is kind of far-fetched, hey, I don't know, if I want to follow this dude, So we have to place ourselves within the context of the first century of what Jesus was saying and say, hey, what if I heard him say that? I probably would have, responded the same way that they did. But we know that other than the apostles at that time, many people discontinue following Jesus because that was a hard saying, after he said, unless you, eat of my body and drink of my flesh. And so there are a lot of things today, even in the 21st century church, that there are things that are being said that are a hard saying for a lot of people to embrace, like, I don't know if I believe that or not, because it goes back to what is truth, because truth in today, in the 21st century, is relative, because our truth as believers, and I want to clarify that, because even some that identify with evangelical Christians or born-again Christians, they are questioning what is truth.
Yeah.
And so it goes back to the postmodernism church of what is truth. And that word postmodernism is simply relatable to the apostate church, because, we have roughly about maybe 50% of the church today that possibly is in apostasy and really don't know it, because to them, what is truth? Truth is relative. So when they heard Jesus make that saying, many discontinued following Jesus, and we have to examine ourselves. Are there some things that are written in the biblical text, whether it's in the Old Testament or whether it's in the New Testament, or whether I hear it on the radio, or whether I hear it coming across the pulpit from the man or woman of God? Is that truth? Is that truth relative to me in the 21st century as I relate to it as it is comes forth from the Bible as relative truth. So each one of us has to examine ourselves, what is truth to me? Is this truth that is relative to the secular society today that surrounds us and how we're so influenced to? Or is truth relative to us based on the word of God as it pertains to the Logos? That's not going to change. I don't care what the secular society is saying or doing around me. I'm going to stay to what the biblical text defines as truth. That is my truth, and I will never deviate from what the biblical truth says.
Amen.
Is truth. Amen? Okay, so that's one of the parentheticals that I wanted to interject in here today. Now I want you to stay with me because my point four here that is parenthetical, but yet it's going to take me back to the initial act that was that occurred prophetically that broke our fellowship with God, that's going to be the catalyst that is going to bring forth a 364th degree turn that is going to bring us back to that initial state where God originally wanted it to be. And that can only be found through our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen?
That's right.
So as our fellowship was broken with God through sin and disobedience in the garden, that fellowship has been or was restored prophetically at the cross when Jesus said, "It is finished." So that
That's
is
right.
one of the reasons primarily and fundamentally why we must follow Christ, because it's only through the finished work on the cross that Jesus did when he said it is finished, and our believing in that finished work on the cross is the only thing that is going to restore us back to that original fellowship that we had that was created by God in the Garden of Eden. So if you don't learn or you don't get anything else from this teaching today, this one very important point you must get, if you want to be restored and have fellowship with God, the only way that it's going to be restored is through your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross.
Amen.
And it correlates to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So if you don't get anything else today, get John 3:16, which is the most fundamental Bible verse in the whole biblical text is John 3:16. That is the key. If you don't get anything else today of why should you follow Christ, John 3:16 is your key. Amen?
Amen.
So again, what we did in the parenthetical information I gave you was verse 4. The cause of our broken fellowship was due to sin. And we still have that sin issue today. You know, because innately we were created with a sin nature. No, we don't go out and we don't do sin willfully. But because sin is a part of our sin nature, there are going to be times when we will miss the mark and we will sin. But we have that backup. We have First John 1:9. Amen? If we confess our sins, who's going to finish that for me today on the panel?
He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Do you want to expound on that?
Well, I've been a Christian for 49 years, and I've relied on that I heard a preacher once say that God never breaks a promise, and here's a promise that if we confess our sins, God will be faithful and just to forgive us because of what was done on the cross. So our sins are forgiven. We could sin. Well, I'm not encouraging that, but whenever we do sin, whenever we fall short, whenever we fail to meet the mark, God is there saying, okay, confess it. Okay, you confessed it. I forgive you. You're now as clean as the newest baby born. We rely on that. I'm an old man Christian, and I've relied on that for my entire life.
Amen. Very, very well. Very well said, Brother Donovan.
We don't have to beat ourselves up over those mistakes. Don't do them. Just strive for perfection. Run the race. But we don't have to beat ourselves up because God is always ready to forgive us.
And you make a very good point there, Brother Duncan, you know, because sometimes, we missed a mark or we sin, we have the tendency in our humanity, if we don't have a correct understanding of how to interpret that, to be able to discern what spirit is operating, because if you have committed a sin and you recognize that I've done something that has displeased the Lord, especially if you are a person that's spirit-filled and you're very sensitive to the Holy Spirit, when you do something, you automatically will sense a conviction. And if you know or are familiar with 1 John 1:9, and that verse again says, and it bears repeating, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as soon as you confess that sin, and always remember that sin comes out by confession, you know? Say, for instance, now I'm expounding on 1 John 1:9. Sin comes about by confession. Confession, if I offend my brother, Duncan Clark, if I did something or I said something that offend him, then I employ 1 John 1:9. I said, Father, I ask you to forgive me, you know, for offending my brother. So sin comes out by confession, amen? And so once you confess it, there you have the ministry of the Holy Spirit, not the Holy Spirit, but the angelic host that are there to execute the words that we speak over, amen? So that's why we have to be so careful of the words that we speak, because we're either speaking life or death, you know, or we're speaking prophetically, or we're speaking doubt or unbelief, or we're speaking faith or fear. So it's very important that we put a guard over our mouths and watch the words that we speak. But I don't want to get off track here, but anytime you commit a sin and the Holy Spirit convicts you of that sin, you employ 1 John 1:9. You confess that sin, and the biblical text says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Now, subsequently, if a spirit of guilt and condemnation tries to come upon you or to attach itself against upon you, then automatically you know that there is a different spirit that is operating there. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's a demonic spirit, because God will not convict you. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is not to condemn, but to convict. Amen?
That's
how you're able to discern at any given time, especially when it comes to the area of sin and confessing it. If you are under a spirit of guilt and condemnation, automatically you can discern what spirit is operating there. Amen. And what you want do is you want to address that spirit, because you do not want any spirit to have control over you other than the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Also. Okay. So one of the things that's very important, thank you. So I want to go back and I want to expand a little bit on verse 4 again, because we know that because in the Garden of Eden, that fellowship was broken with God because of the sin of disobedience. that occurred with Adam and Eve, their fellowship with God was broken, and they began to die spiritually. And that's the same way today in the 21st century. Anyone who is not born again, you are on a trajectory of dying physically, not only physically, but also spiritually. But if you want to have the Zoe type of life that Brother Clark mentioned earlier, the God kind of life, you have to be born again, you know. And in order for you to be born again, you need to become a new creation in Christ to walk in that spirit of life, right, of the Zoe type of life, of eternal life that only the Son of God can give you through your faith and your trust in the finished work that he did at Calvary. Amen. So if you're a listener today and you are not alive to the things of God, but you are spiritually dead, so you're on a trajectory not only to physical death, but spiritual death, and you do not want to be at that place. You want to have the newness of life, the Zoe type of life, to experience the eternal life that only can be found in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we know that also that the perpetrator of this death is the God of this world, who is Satan, because John 10:10 says what, Brother Walker?
Is he there?
Yes. Are you there, Brother Walker?
Yes, Pastor Jordan. Pastor Walker's not on yet.
Okay. Brother Clark, would you go ahead and expound on John 10:10?
John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and might have it abundantly. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the evil one just loves to see our misery. He's having a good time today, isn't he? Not with this radio show, but in the world. But God is here to breathe life. What a difference. What a difference. It's the God who is our Heavenly Father, our Creator. He didn't make us to be miserable children, but there is somebody who wants us to be miserable. I don't want to listen to the evil one. I just listen to the Word of God.
Amen. So the Word of God says in John 10:10 that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. And Jesus said that I came that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. And we can look around and see the things that are occurring in the world today. And, you know, the things that you see with the natural eye, even though they appear to be real, and they are when you look at them from the natural eye, but we live in a parallel universe where we are dealing with and we have to wrestle with two different kingdoms. Amen. There is a spiritual world, there's the kingdom of darkness, and there's the kingdom of light. And so that is our reality. And if you don't understand that, you know that we are in a spiritual battle. That's a sad state of being, because, you know, we are in a spiritual battle. And unless you understand that, there's most likely you're going to become a casualty, and we don't want you to become a casualty, and you yourself don't want to become a casualty. So you have to awaken your eyes that, yes, I am in a spiritual battle. Yes, I see the natural things that are going on around me, but I want you to know the reality is that the unseen things are more real than what we see with the natural eye. And often the things that we see with the natural eye are just manifestations of what is happening behind the scene in those dual realities or realms of the spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So you would have...
Amen. Pastor Joy and Pastor Clark, I just wanted to talk a little bit about this, because this was an important point for me. I didn't get enough of that part of it. Not to knock anything I got as far as the learning and teaching of the word, but that's the part I was struggling with, that there was two, that you had to have the spiritual side of it, and that there are going to be battles, and there's going to be opportunities where the enemy's going to try to deter you and keep you away from Christ even after you accepted him. And that's the teaching part that it should have been more of, that needs to be more of, is that part of that we will go through things, but there is an overcomer. And had I understood that better, I'd probably be a different person today, but I thank God for this time and space. But I think that's the part of people want to know a little bit more about what you just said about it's a spiritual battle and that there's going to be a battle between the flesh and the spirit. And that's the part I didn't understand that is going to happen. I felt it. I feel it. You feel it. But I didn't understand that was part of the journey. I thought it was going to be everything's going to be all good and, you know, no problems, things like that, because I received Jesus. And I'm just excited about this teaching today because it's so powerful. But I just want to mention that because that is so important, this teaching. It's so important today. And people got to grasp the fact that the Holy Spirit is the key to everything you're talking about. Amen.
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 And Elder Vaughn, you make a very good point there, because sometimes, you know, over the pulpit, you know, or in various places, you will hear maybe the man or woman of God may say, well, you know, come to Christ and, you know, your life is going to be wonderful and everything is going to be cookies and cream. And there isn't anything further from the truth, because, you know, even when you're over in the kingdom of darkness, he has you. So, you know, he makes everything, you know, look fresh and new and you're having a good time. But, you know, everything comes to an end. But it's just the opposite is once you turn your life around and you go into the, you know, now you're not headed the same direction as everyone else, but now you're going upstream, it gets a little tougher. And it seems like, man, you begin to have more problems, you know. And you say, well, hey, I thought things were going to get easier when I became a Christian, but it's just the opposite, because now you're on the other side. You're in a different kingdom, and the enemy, you know, he comes to John 10:10. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. So now that you're on the opposite side, he's going to do everything that he can to destroy you. That's why Jesus himself says that he that endures to the end shall be saved. And the Apostle Paul says that each one of us has to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So no, you know, it gets difficult, but you know, we have a free will, and every day we get up and we put our feet on the ground. We have to make a choice. Who am I going to follow today?
Hallelujah.
You know, it's
That's right.
It's an everyday choice. And I want to expound a little bit on this issue because we're talking about it. But then I want to go back over to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18, and also address what you were speaking about, the aspect of the two different realms of the spirit. And we can go to the biblical text and we can see where it speaks to that and addresses that right here. Let's go ahead and go here to Ephesians chapter 6, and let's go ahead and read verses 10 to 18. And here we have Paul that is speaking here, and the heading is called The Warfare of the Spirit-Filled Believer. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the warrior's power. And the Apostle Paul now, of course, he's addressing the Ephesians, the church in Ephesus, but also he's speaking to you and I in the 21st century church. It's applicable for us today. And he's saying, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And this is the important part here, Elder Vaughn, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And now you notice here where it talks about that we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so Satan, he is not omnipotent. He is not omniscient. He is
not
omnipresent. He's not like God. He can't be in every place at one time. So here, just like in the military, you have different ranks. You have the what are the different ranks in the military? You have the private. You may have the colonel. You may have the sergeant. You may have the lieutenant. You may have the captain. You may have the the corporal or general, whatever. So that's the same way in the ranks of Satan, because he can't be everywhere, but yet he has these different principalities that have various ranks, amen, in his arsenal of demonic forces, amen? So if you have someone there that's walking in the office of an apostle, well, Satan may send one of his generals to the apostle, you know, or if you have a new believer, you know, he may be what we call a lamb. He's just come into the body of Christ. He's new into the sheepfold. Well, Satan's not going to send one of his generals to the new believers. He's going to send maybe one of his little, you know, you know, not his principality. He's going to send someone of a lower rank to deal with them. So you've heard the language, the higher the level, the bigger the devil. And that's true to some respects, you know, because he's going to send a different level of enemy to attack you based on your spiritual maturity and where you are. So that's the spiritual principle. So here it's just like armor. Every day when we get up, we have to clothe ourselves with our spiritual armor. Amen. So verse 13 says, wherefore take unto you, because we're in a spiritual battle. This is a war, and if you don't want to be a casualty, you better clothe up every day you leave your home, because goes back to John 10:10, the thief cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Go ahead, Elder Vaughn, there's a point you want to make.
Yes, ma'am. No, that's right on schedule there, right on point from the word. And that's the thing that I had to learn as I matured in the word. You know, I learned this, but it would have been, you know, I would think I'd probably be a lot further had I heard it a lot earlier and understood it earlier as well. So it's a wonderful time, though. But thank God for the word today, right? Thank God for his word today.
No, and we need to pray for our teachers and leaders. We need to pray for you, Pastor Joy, and for you, Elder Vaughn. There is a spiritual assault going on against the leaders of the church. And I've seen so many of these guys and gals just collapse under the strain. So, pray for each other.
Amen. As a matter of fact, later on we will do that, Pastor Clark. So get ready. We're going to pray for our leaders before we leave today. No doubt about that. You're absolutely right. Thank you so much for that reminder, because we have to lift up our leaders that preach the word of God all across the globe. And because they are under attack, and we know why, of course. Back to you.
And we know what. Okay, so I'm going to continue reading from verse 13 to verse 18, because I want every person in the radio listening audience today. And yes, because our pastors are on the front line, and they are the ones that the enemy will attack. And so, you know, it goes to me, this would be the appropriate time for me to expound on that. You know, many times, you know, the congregation, they will murmur and complain about their pastor, or they will gossip about their pastor. Don't gossip or murmur or complain about your pastor, but pray for your pastor, because the congregation is only going to be as good as the man or the woman that is standing in the pulpit. Amen?
Amen.
The pastor prospers. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I wish or I pray above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health as thy soul prospers. Pray for your pastor and his family, because they're under tremendous attack. You know, I concur with Minister Duncan Clark. Yes, pray for them, especially right now when we are in such a very intense time of spiritual warfare, because, you know, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:1, know this also, that in the last days perilous times will come. And folks, they're here. And if you're listening to echoes or prophetic echoes or whatever, and when I say a prophetic echo, that's a false prophet, do not believe these prophetic echoes, because as long as you are reading the biblical text, there is nowhere in there that prophesies that things are going to get easier for the believer. And just I'm going to stay on point. And then if you have your Bibles, I want you to go over to Matthew 24 and verse 9. But right now I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to continue a reading from verse 13 to 18, because I want everyone that is in the radio audience today that every day, you know, you have to understand that when you walk in your out your door, and it's not even necessarily walking out your door, there could be people that you're living within your own home that may not be a believer, or they may be a believer, but you're in a warfare with them. But it's one thing that is important for you to be able to discern, know who the enemy is. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It's not your brother. It's not your sister. It's not your uncle. It's not your aunt. But it's the enemy that they have availed themselves to be an instrument of unrighteousness, where the powers of darkness can work in and through them. So you have to be able to discern who the enemy is. And once you know who the enemy is, to be able to respond appropriately, and as you respond appropriately based on the biblical text is how the Bible would have you to respond in a situation, just know with all assurance that you will emerge victorious, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? So every day when you get in, you have to clothe yourself physically, you know, and spiritually with the whole armor of God. Again, at verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So every day, remember, when you get up, put on your spiritual armor, so that when you go out to do battle in your home and outside of your home, you will not return as a casualty. Every man, because God has given you everything you need to defeat the enemy, so you don't need to become a casualty. Amen. Because there are too many casualties in the body of Christ, and we, those that are strong, we have to pull the injured off the battlefield and take care of those that have become casualties, and take them off the battlefield until they can become strong and get back out on the battle, because they cannot stay off the battlefield, because we need all hands on deck right now. We need from the smallest child to the oldest saint. There's no more pew warming. We need you on the battlefield, because we are in a spiritual battlefield, and this nation is in a battle. We are in a battle for the spiritual well-being of this nation. So right now we need all hands on deck. No more sitting in the pews, from the littlest child to the oldest saint. And even if you're 80 years old, it is not the time to retire, but to refire. Amen. There's so much knowledge on the inside of the older saints, and you need to pass on that knowledge to the younger generation, the Generation X's, the Millennials, the Generation Z's, and whatever the ascribed generation is to this generation, the college age generation. They need the boomers and the great generations to impart that spiritual knowledge that you have inside of you. They need you. They need spiritual mentors. They need spiritual fathers. So you cannot retire. We need you on the battlefield. Amen. So I just wanted to cover that for you today, Elder Vaughn. You can find that in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to verse 19. But I do want to expound, this is very important for every believer to know this, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24 and verse 9. You cannot escape this, my brother and sister. I'm sorry. I don't care what you are hearing that's coming from the pulpit or the man or woman of God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, I'm just only going to read verse 8 and verse 9, all these are the beginning of sorrows. And actually what I'm going to do is I'm going to back up because this is very important, the verses that precede. Verse 9, let's go back to verse 3, and I'm sure you're all familiar with this, but redundancy is very important. Sometimes we have a tendency to want to think that we understand or have a grasp of the fundamental of scriptures, but it never hurts us to go back to refresh our memories. Amen. So I'm going to go back to the Olivet Discourse and the threefold question that the apostles asked Jesus right before his ascension. This is very important and this is very relevant because this is where we are today. This is a corresponding scripture that references, it goes along with 2 Timothy 3:1, where the Apostle Paul says that know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, and Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, the verse 9 is kind of like a sister cross-reference, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to read that, and in verse 3 we have the apostles, they're asking Jesus this question, and Jesus answers their questions in verse 4 through verse 9, and this is the apostles asking him the question. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And this is what Jesus answered. And Jesus answered and said, and this is very important, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, because the biblical text tells us that in the last days that there would be much deception and that many would be deceived. And Jesus warns us here, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things, Jesus said this now, must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And now I find this very interesting. And Jesus said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. So what you can do is you can liken it to a woman who she's 9 months pregnant. But when the baby is about to come in the ninth month, she begins to have birth pains. Amen. So this is what Jesus is saying in verse 8. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Okay? So this is where we are right now in real time. In real time and reality. This is where we are on God's prophetic calendar. Okay? Then Jesus goes on to verse 9. He says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. So, you know, this is our reality. You know, there are some of us that are predestined to be martyrs, and there's some of us that are not, because there are crowns in heaven that are stored up that are referred to as martyrs' crowns. And so we know that many have gone on before us, and we are not seeing that in the United States right now, but it doesn't appear that we may not be too far off for some of these nations where our brothers and sisters are actually giving their lives for their testimony in Jesus Christ. And so we have to settle the issue. If I were confronted today with the reality of denouncing Jesus to save my life, if a terrorist or ISIS came and gave me the alternative to either to convert to Islam or to denounce Jesus and Christianity, would I be able to do it? Is my faith that strong that I would suffer martyrdom for my belief in Jesus Christ? Or would I be so fearful to save my life that I would denounce my faith in Jesus Christ and in essence, abdicate my eternity.
Yeah.
And that's the issue that you have to, that has to be settled today, because
yeah.
you don't know, you know, if you will ever be confronted with that. And I was confronted with it in 2006, you know, and so it has to be settled. We have to settle the issue because it's a reality. Amen?
Amen. It's a frightening
it
one, but it's
true.
It
hasn't hit our shores yet, but it could be, you know, far behind. And you have to settle in your heart. Am I willing to die for the sake of the gospel? You know, for Paul says, you know, to die is to gain, you know, to live is to gain, but to die is Christ. And we have to get to that point that we are resolute in our personal conviction as to what would I do if I was confronted with that issue. And each one of us has to answer that question for him or herself. No one else can answer that question for you but you. But it has to be settled today. It's not something that you can put off in the future. It's like your eternity. Because if you went home tonight and laid down your head, there's no assurance that you will awake tomorrow. And if you die tonight, do you have the assurance of where you will spend eternity? Because once you die, it's too late. Because the word of God says that it's appointed to man once to die, and then the judgment. Amen?
Amen. You're preaching it.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Joy, this is so powerful. Minister Clark, this
Amen.
Is so powerful right here. This is really the key to everything. And I want to encourage all those who are listening live right now, if you listen to the voice of Pastor Eleanor Joy and her wonderful guest minister, Duncan Clark. And ladies and gentlemen, we really care about your soul. Jesus cares about your soul. He died for your soul. And it's so important that you understand that you must stay resolute. You must stay true to the word of God that you have accepted already. And you cannot have any fear no matter what comes your way because of what God's words. Pastor Joy is breaking it down for us today to understand why things are happening. But we don't have to be fearful. We have to understand Jesus already gave us a heads up on the word about things coming. So we don't have to be
That's
fearful.
Right.
A lot of people are running in fear, and the believer shouldn't be that way. A believer should not run in fear. I can understand the world, but not a believer. So, Pastor Joyce, I want to thank you for bringing the word back to us again in this simplicity. Yeah, it is really simplistic, but you do have to listen. You have to listen. You have to really take that word into your soul through the power of the Holy Spirit in order to really grasp that, because that's a great question about if someone challenged my faith, would I hesitate? I have to answer that. I need to know that. I will not hesitate. That's what you want to know. And that's what we want to encourage you to not hesitate in the faith and in the trueness and also in the love of Jesus Christ. Do not hesitate your faith that you've already known. And as you know, I'm going to give it back to Pastor Joy. Pastor, as you know, and Mr. Clark, I've said it before, I know too much now to turn back. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Okay, I want to also, and I mentioned this earlier, and it's about the Apostle Paul, because I want you to know in real time and reality exactly where we are today. And this is the reality for every believer, and this is where we are in the church. And so I want to read this in 2 Timothy in chapter 3, and I'm only going to be reading down to verse 7. And the Apostle Paul is speaking here, and I touched on this a little bit earlier. But brothers and sisters in Christ, this is where we are. This is our reality. And if you listen to some of the characteristics that I will be reading here, that the Apostle Paul listed of the characteristics that people will be having in the last days, you'll be able to recognize a lot of these characteristics and to say, yes, indeed, we are living in the last days. Here again, Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm going to read verse 1 through 7. He said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, which that word incontinent means that people don't have any self-restraint, fears, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And here, it's interesting in verse 5, Paul says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And here Paul says, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So this is very powerful, but this is where we are living today. This is the church's reality in real time, and this is where we are, church, on God's prophetic timetable. And as we see all these particular characteristics that Paul mentioned here from verses 1 through 7, these are the characteristics of those who are playing church versus those that are the true church. And over in the book of Revelation, you can go to Revelation in chapter 3, and it would give you the characteristics of those that are functioning in the true church in the last days. And you can go to the church of Laodicea, which is the apostate church, which most of the church today, even in America, has become apostate. But the wonderful thing about these end times is that as we see many people in the church are becoming apostate, we also will see one of the greatest revivals and harvests, a great end time harvest come into the church. It will be a simultaneous event. So as we see the apostasy taking place, we also will see like a third spiritual awakening that will not only sweep across America, but we will see this great spiritual awakening go around the globe. We will see the second, or which the biblical text refers to it as the outpouring, the latter rain. It will be greater than the former rain. We will see the biblical text refers to it as the waters cover the sea. We will see the glory of the Lord cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. And we will see that great outpouring of God's Spirit, because it will be that outpouring of the Spirit of God that will enable and empower for this great end time harvest to come into the churches. So if there's any pastor that's out there listening to me today, I want to encourage you, you know, to expand your borders, you know, to prepare your churches, because there's going to be a great end time harvest like we've never seen before. So you just prepare your church. Yes, it disheartens us that there will be an apostasy. And you know why there's going to be an apostasy? Because they have not been taught sound doctrine. Because as soon as the persecution comes against the church, they're not going to be aware to have the wisdom to understand that the Bible had prophesied that these days would occur, and they will not be prepared, and they will not be able to withstand the persecution that is coming against the church. And so what they will do is they, out of fear, they will give in, and those will be the ones that will not make it in, because they were not rooted and grounded in the Word of God and sound doctrine. And while you're here, I want you to turn over to the book of Daniel and hear the prophetic word from the prophet Daniel. And it's very important that everyone who is listening today, that you understand what the prophet Daniel was saying prophetically, and make this your own personal word for you, prophetic word for you today. Make this a part of your prophetic history, what the prophet Daniel said in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 10. May this be a prophetic word for you today, and make this your own prophetic word. Daniel said, many shall be purified. Amen. And when he said many shall be purified, because he told us in the book of Peter that judgment begins at the house of God. Amen. So right now, you know, we can look at the crisis that is going on with COVID, and you can speculate, okay, there are the two who's and there are the two whys. Well, why is this, if God is omniscient and if God knows all things and if God knew that the COVID-19 virus was going to affect the whole globe, the entire globe, why did not God stop it? That's the same question that we answered in 9/11. And sometimes we can say, why God, why, or when God, when. But he doesn't have to confer with us, you know, why he does what he does or when he does when he went, you know, because, you know, the biblical text says that the ways of God are hard in our ways and his thoughts are hard in our thoughts. So he doesn't have to confer with us before he does anything. Amen.
Amen.
So verse 10 says, many shall be purified. And so, you know, we don't like to hear that, but judgment begins at the house of God. Amen. And so the judgment begins with us. Can you imagine what is going to happen when he judged the world? Amen. So many shall be purified. And here Daniel's talking about the church and made white. Because Paul talks about that Jesus is coming back for a bride without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. Amen. He's coming back for a pure bride. So many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand. Because the word of God says that wisdom is the principal thing. Amen.
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 So we need to get wisdom and we need to get understanding. So I want, if you don't have a prophetic history, I want you to begin your prophetic history with this word today, this prophetic word that came from Daniel in Daniel chapter 12, verse 10, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. So you want to be one of the wise that understand the timetable, the prophetic timetable, the God's prophetic timetable, and understand where we are in times of Bible prophecy and end times. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So I want you to know that, you know, when Paul talks about, notice also that in the last day, perilous times should come. Folks, those days are here. And, I don't want to sugarcoat anything to you or tell you that things are going to get better. You know, for us as a church, thank God that we are in Christ. That's one of the reasons why we should follow Christ, amen, because we are in the ark. The ark of safety, you know, our Old Testament counterpart is what Noah, he preached for 120 years. He tried to warn the people that the flood was coming. And while he was building, they just laughed and they scorned at him. But while they kept laughing and they kept scorning him, he continued to build. He continued to build, you know, at the direction of the Lord. But they continued to mock and scorn him. But when the rain started falling, it was too late. Amen? If they were outside of the ark, it was too late. If you were outside of the ark when the rain started falling, it was too late. And it's the same thing that's happening today. It's the same thing that is happening today. And I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44. And this is where we are today. This is our reality in real time. You have the prophetic voices that are blowing the trumpet. They're sounding the warning. You have the prophetic voices. The true prophets are blowing the trumpets. They're sounding the warning. They're sounding the alarm. But no one's listening. Even many in the church are not heeding the warning of the trumpets, of the warnings, of the prophetic voices. And that's the sad commentary. And in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, I'm going to start at verse 32. It says it's talking about the parable of the fig tree. Jesus says, "Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation," and folks, he's talking about our generation, "do you know that the chances are that we are the generation, if the Lord tarries, and it appears that in the prophetic community that just beyond the horizon is the second coming of Jesus Christ, that you could or we could be the generation that actually sees the physical second coming of Jesus Christ?" And Jesus says, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." And he's talking about the generation that I just mentioned in Matthew 24. And 2 Timothy 3:1, "And we are the generation that no other generation is witnessing the things that we are witnessing today." It's like when we turn on a daily news headline, we watch the news, the theological terminology for that is headline exegesis. So we in the prophetic community are literally watching Bible prophecy coming to pass right before our very eyes. Amen. And then we see convergences, like we're seeing more than one prophetic fulfillment. We're seeing many things simultaneously taking place. So that's why we need to occupy. The prophetic word for 2021 was occupy. Everybody needs to be in their place of assignment, doing what God has called you to do. Whether you are in the secular marketplace or you in full-time ministry, whatever your sphere of influence is, you need to be utilizing the gifts and the talents and the abilities and the resources that the Lord has given you to advance the kingdom of God. Okay, so verse 35, 34, "Verily I say unto you, this generation," and keep in mind, this could be your generation. Jesus said, "This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So in essence, when you go out of your home every day, we know that the language of the Christianese or the biblical terminology is that although we're in the world, we're not of the world. So the new term that I've coined is, I'm not in the matrix anymore, you know. I am not in the matrix.
Hallelujah. I didn't have to take no pills.
So when I leave my door every day, this is not my reality. This is not reality. This is a kind of like a parallel universe. This is not. This is a matrix. This is not real. This is not my reality. So I am not in the matrix. I am not a part of this kingdom. I am in a new kingdom. I am a new creation. I'm a new citizen. I am in the kingdom of heaven, on my way to the kingdom of God, and I have no part in this kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, which is ruled and governed by the god of this world, which is a small g, which is called Satan, who is the king of this god. So my brothers and sisters, come out of the matrix. Come out of the matrix. Amen. So just like it is said here, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be. And just like Noah was trying to sound the warning in his day, he preached for 120 years while he was building the ark. And the New Testament Example of that is Jesus Christ is the ark. And so unless, you know, what you want to do is you want to be in the ark. So that is one of the reasons why you should follow Christ, is because you want to be in the ark, because Jesus Christ is the ark of safety. Amen. You want to be under the blood of Jesus. It's the Goshen principle. It's the Goshen principle. When the death angel, you know, went through Goshen, when the death angel saw the blood over the doorpost, the death angel passed over the house, because he said, you can't go there because there's the blood. I see the blood. It's the same principle for the believer today that is in Christ with the COVID. Yes, disheartening. As disheartening as it is, we've had a lot of brothers and sisters that have gone on to be with the Lord, but at least we know that they're not in our past, but our future, amen? Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. They know where their eternal destiny is.
Hallelujah.
And so none of us, amen. But, you know, when COVID sees the blood, COVID has to pass unless it's your appointed time, because the word of God says that is appointed to man once to die and then the judgment. But we know that we as the believer, we will not stand before the white throne judgment, but the judgment seat that we will stand is the Bema seat, where we will receive our crowns and our rewards based on what we did on this side of eternity with the gifts and the talents and the abilities and the resources that God entrusted to us. Amen. So this side of eternity is only an internship. It's just preparing us to rule and to reign with Christ when he comes into his millennial kingdom, where it speaks of that in Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, that we will be kings and priests, and we will rule and reign with Jesus in his millennial kingdom. Amen. So what we see right now in this matrix, this is only an internship that is preparing us to rule and reign with Christ when he sits on his throne in Jerusalem, where he will rule and reign with Christ, where we will rule in Christ as kings and priests with Jesus for 1,000 years. So don't become comfortable. This is not your home, which is the title of my third book. This is not your home. So don't get comfortable here, because this is just an internship, because there's going to be more work that we will be doing when we rule and reign with Christ when he comes into his kingdom. So, you know, it corresponds when, you know, those who were given 2 gifts and those who were given 5 talents or those who were given 10 talents. And Jesus says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Enter thou now into the joy of the Lord, and I will make thee ruler of many things. So if he considers what we are doing on this side of eternity to advance the kingdom of heaven, and, you know, just for a little bit of biblical interpretation, I want to expound on that. There's a difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is the 1,000-year, 1,000-millennial reign of Jesus, which we will partner with him during that 1,000-year reign to partner with him to create a holy habitation for God to come down when he creates a new heaven and a new earth, which you can go and read about in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, when God will come down and everything will be restored as it was in the beginning in the book of Genesis, in the book of Genesis, the Garden of Eden. But when you look at what God is going to do when everything is restored, when you go and you look at that in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, it's going to be so much better. So that is what the kingdom of God is in, is when we are in the eternal age, when we will now live and be back in that state of restoration, where we will now have that same relationship
with God that Adam and Eve had, where we will now see God face to face. So that's how we're going to come full circle from Genesis back to Revelation. We're going to do a full 363-degree turn. Everything will be restored back to the way it originally was, the book of Genesis, in the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and 22. Amen.
Amen.
So keep in mind that everything that we're doing in this time of human history is only an internship that is preparing us. But if you're faithful, if he called what we're doing on this side of eternity a few things, can you imagine the responsibility that we're going to have? He's going to, you know, if you were had two talents, he says, well done, that good and faithful servant. I will make thee ruler over many things. He may make you ruler over 10 cities or 15 cities. You know, you have to go in there and you read it out, but I think it's two. You multiply that. If you had five talents, he'll make you rule over 10 cities. If he gave you 10 talents and you were faithful in that, he'll make you rule over 20. So don't relax, because this is not your home. You're only passing through. Amen. So I'm going to get ready, and I'm going to close with just a few things. Actually, that's what I'm going to close with today, is that, you know, listen to the true prophetic voices that are sounding the trumpets or the shofars, and heed the warning of the prophets today. Amen. And the sad thing that many in the body of Christ are not heeding the warning, and they're going to be like the analogy of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25. And you can take it from here, Elder Vaughn.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Joy. Thank you so much, Minister Clark. I want to play the shofar for about 1 minute. 1 minute. Thank you so much. Bless the name of the Lord, Minister Clark, Pastor Joy. Thank you so much for being with us today. Why we should follow Christ. I think we got our answer again. Amen. So we thank God for this wonderful time. Minister Clark, final comments. Then we'll give it back to Joy, Pastor Joy, for final comments, and then I'll close this out. Any final comments, Minister Clark? Bless you.
I'll just echo what Pastor Joy said. These are the end times. There's no more fooling around.
Right.
We have no more margin for following the ways of the world. We got to get out of the matrix. We need Jesus. Absolutely.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the voice of Minister Duncan Clark on the network. For those listening around the globe, those listening later on as well, he opened up with us tonight. Pastor Joy, any final comments for you as well?
Well, I just want to close by saying I thank you, first of all, Elder Vaughn, for giving Minister Clark and Minister Walker the opportunity to come on the broadcast today and to be able to share our thoughts on the topic of why we should follow Christ. But I just want you to see or to discern from the prophetic perspective that, and I piggyback what Minister Clark just said, folks, it's no more playing church. It's no more playing church. We have to stop playing church, and we have to be the true church, and we need to be out, and we need to be advancing the kingdom of God. And no more playing church, but we need to occupy, and we all need to be in our place of assignment and doing what God has called us to do. And every person's place of assignment is going to be different based on the office or whether you're in the secular marketplace or whether you're in full-time ministry or whatever your sphere of influence. You don't have to be in a church, in a physical building, behind a pulpit. Wherever you are, that's your pulpit. And I just want to leave you with this final scripture. And Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, and this gospel shall be preached for witness to all the nations, and then shall the end come. But I just want to leave you with this final word. It's just over the horizon. As we look at the newly, as we look at the daily headlines, and we refer to that as the newsline. Exegesis, folks, it's close. It's even closer than we believe. Right. We're pretty much at 11:59, and the Jesus' second coming is just over the horizon. So my word to you, final word, is just be ready. Be ready. And tonight when you go to bed, know, settle it tonight that you have the assurance that if you didn't wake up tomorrow morning, you know where you will spend eternity, because there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Joy. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord today. Praise Him. Praise Him. You know, Minister Clark and Pastor Joy, we talked about our teachers and preachers and ministers and of the gospel and evangelists and the prophets. We want to pray for them. If you would, Minister Clark, if you don't mind, would pray for those, for our leaders around the globe that do preach to teach the Word of God, who are not going to change. They're not going to give up. They're just going to continue to preach and teach the Word of God. Thank you.
Well, I know ministers in China and Mongolia. I know ministers from Nigeria and Africa, Kenya, Uganda, Great Britain, so South America. So God, would you watch over the entire globe? Would you watch over your church? Would you build up and give godly words to your leaders? And protect them from the snares of the devil, protect them from temptation, protect them from lack of provision, protect them from this COVID. Most of all, we simply ask that you would hold your leaders, including Pastor Joy and Elder Vaughn and Minister Walker, hold us in the palm of your hand, protect us, keep us close to you, fill us with your Spirit daily so that we might be filled up with the fullness of you, and that we may keep our paths straight. And even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, the voice of Minister Duncan Clark with us on Why Should We Follow Christ? It's our wonderful Pastor Eleanor Joy, who's hosting with us tonight, today, and our second day actually on this host. We thank you so much. This network, ladies and gentlemen, we had the wonderful Minister Bryant Walker with us yesterday. His recording is available as well. This is going to be archived as well. We'll be pushing this out on the network. So we thank everybody in the name of Jesus that this word went out today. Amen. Well, praise God, ladies and gentlemen. This is your Power Connection series. We bring people like Pastor Joy and Minister Clark to come on and share the word with you today, because that's where the power is, ladies and gentlemen. It's in the belief and understanding and love of Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we thank Jesus for his blood, his resurrection, and the precious Holy Spirit. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that we are praying for Pastor Joy. We're praying for Minister Clark. We're praying for Minister Walker. We're praying, as he mentioned earlier, but we're praying for you ministers and pastors. We thank you so much for who you are. I pray for my bishop and my minister even as we speak. So thank you so much. But we must continue to lift up the man and woman of God each and every day as we pray. Amen. Well, praise God. Well, thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We want you to have a great, great rest of the day. We thank Pastor Joy for her time. Thank Minister Clark for his time today. But we want you to have a wonderful day. Always, always remember, as Dr. Larry Karn says on his programs, always out love, ladies and gentlemen. Always out forgive and out serve each other. And remember that Jesus is Lord. Good night, everyone. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bless you. Thank you, Pastor Joy. Amen. Good night, everyone. Have a great day. Bye-bye now.